want to make sure that CD is recording. We have a wonderful, a powerful preacher here this morning. I've heard a lot about him. I know a lot about him. And I'm going to introduce Brother Samuel Pounds. Samuel Pounds was born in Landale, Florida, to the late Ora Lee and Madison Pounds. He was taught and baptized by Jesse Tolliver at the Landale Church of Christ on Sunday, July the 31st, 1997. He was educated at Bethune Cookman College, Daytona Beach, Florida, Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, Tallahassee, Florida, and Harding Graduate School of Religion, Memphis, Tennessee. He has extensive training in youth counseling, drug education, and mentoring. He was a youth minister for 9 years. 3 years of his ministry to youth was at the East Haven Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, and 6 years were served in the New Golden Heights Church of Christ in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was at New Golden Heights, where he served under the dynamic leadership of Dr. W.F. Washington. He was the senior minister of the Westside Church of Christ in Rockford, Illinois, and he served from August 1997 to June 2006. That congregation grew both spiritually and numerically during his tenure. In addition, many programs were implemented, including their school, the Westside Christian Academy, in which he served as principal and administrator. Currently, he is the senior minister of the Hilltop Church of Christ in Winter Haven, Florida. He is married to the former Lisa Lynette Harrell of Miami, Florida, and they have 3 children. Please welcome, after this song, Brother Samuel Pounds.
God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. What a blessing it is to be alive today and in the Lord's house. I bring you greetings from the Hilltop Church of Christ, where I am privileged to serve as their minister. And it is very interesting to leave Florida when the sun is shining and it's 75 degrees at night, and then to come here and y'all got all these grits on the ground. But it is wonderful to be back in Illinois, and it's great to see individuals who I have not seen in a long, long time. So it's not good to see you. So Janice, brother, sister, Tollfree, good to see them. They have a family. Now, I don't even call them friends anymore. They're family, and it's great to see brother, sister Cabot with us. It's just wonderful to see them, and maybe others who I'm overlooking. You just charge it to my head and not my heart. But it's great to be here. I appreciate. Words cannot express my appreciation to Brother Herman Jackson for communicating with me and all that he has done to make sure my arrival here has been safe and I've enjoyed myself. The great meeting the other elder, Brother Burnside, I appreciate them as well as your minister who is here. We're grateful for them. Now, I've never been much of a preliminary speaker, never have been, never will be. Let's just go right to the lesson. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. Acts 2 and verse number 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Yes, the Bible said, fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Great to see Brother and Sister Thomas as well. Good to see them as well. Now, what I'm going to be dealing with, these two lessons I'm going to be dealing with today, I'm going to be dealing with fellowship. Now, when we talk about fellowship, you have to understand, fellowship, it carries with it the idea of people being unified together. It is the idea of coming together under a common bond that will hold us together. Now, to that extent, 3 points I'm going to be driving home all day long, and that is, number one, we want to look at
the purpose of fellowship, the plan of fellowship, and the place of fellowship. Looking at the purpose, the plan, and the place. Now, when I talk about purpose, purpose deals with intent. And because we're talking about spiritual things, we are dealing with spiritual intent. What was God's intent? And I want you to see that before these two lessons are concluded. I want you to see what was God's intent. The purpose, but then God had a plan. How he was going to carry out his purpose, and then God has a place. And that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start going backwards today because, first of all, I want us to see the place. There is a place where God wants everybody to be. And if we're going to have fellowship, we must have fellowship, not on our terms, but based on the terms of the Lord. So I want to talk about this place. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse number 6, the Bible says that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body. God wants everybody to be in the same body. Well, you have to understand, the Bible is plain. If you look at Ephesians chapter, look, the book of Ephesians, let's just look at the book of Ephesians. Then I could prove my point that God wants all of us to be together. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Now, everybody that Paul was writing to were those individuals who were in the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 10, they were in the Lord. Chapter 5 and verse number 23. He tells us that Christ is the Savior of the body. So everybody that's in the body, chapter 5, are the same folk that in the Lord, chapter 6. Now look at chapter 4. In chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says that there is but one body. There's one body, chapter 4. Chapter 5, Christ will save the body. Chapter 6, everybody that's in the body is in the Lord. Look at chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse number 6, I said it earlier and I'll say it again, that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body. He wants everybody in the same body, chapter 3. There's only one body, chapter 4. Christ gonna save the body, chapter 5. In chapter 6, everybody's in the Lord are those who are in Christ. Look at chapter 2. In chapter 2, in verse number 16, he talks about there's reconciliation. We're in the one body. We are reconciled to God and to one another in one body. Look at what he says. Chapter 2, reconciled together. Chapter 3, same body. Chapter 4, one body. Chapter 5, Christ gonna save the body. Chapter 6, everybody that's in the body is in the Lord. Look at chapter 1, verses 22 and verse number 23. Because somebody may ask the question, what is the body? Oh, I'm so glad y'all asked that. I don't know what to do. Because I'd have had 2 or 3 minutes of dead space right here. Well, in chapter 1, verses 22 and verse number 23, the Bible tells us very plainly that the church is the body, and the body is the church. So since the church is the body, and the body is the church in chapter 1, then therefore everywhere we see body, we can substitute it for church. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, in verse number 16, 17, there's reconciliation in the one church. In chapter 3, he wants everybody to be in the same church. In chapter 4, there is but one church. Chapter 5, Christ is going to save the church. Chapter 6, everybody's in the church are the same people that's in the Lord. Let's look at this place. I want us to see this place. Because this place was prophesied a long time ago. It was prophesied a long time ago that God will have one place by which all individuals will be able to fellowship together. Now, we got to understand this fellowship. This fellowship is not just among brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is a fellowship we have with the Father. Listen to the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. You know, people say I talk fast. I don't know where they get that from. I've been listening to myself my whole life, and I sound fine. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. And so therefore there is fellowship, not only with brothers and sisters, but there is fellowship with God. But we have to understand this. We must be in the right place. And that's what I want to talk about, the place of fellowship. Where is the place where God wants everybody to be? If we're going to fellowship with the Father, if we're going to have proper fellowship with one another, where does God want us to be? Now, to that end, I want us to see this. Go with me to the Old Testament. And Brother Birdside, it's just me and you, my brother. Just me and you. Just me and you. All right. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, I want us to see this today. I want us to understand in this lesson that there is but one place of fellowship. And I want us to see this. I want us to have a good understanding of this before the lesson comes to a close. There is but one place of fellowship. And it is foreshadowed. It is foreshadowed. Now, in the Bible, we recognize the Bible deals with the Old Testament and the New Testament. We understand it deals with types and it deals with antitypes. And so what we're going to be looking at a blueprint of this place of fellowship that God had already designed. We'll talk a little later. God had this in his mind before the foundation of the world, how God would save man. And so what I want to do, I want us to go back and look at the blueprint to help us understand that when this came to fruition, when the one place came to fruition, all men will understand what was the very plan of God. Now, I want us to go back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Because here God gives us the blueprint. He gives us the blueprint to this one place. Now, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Now, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the, almost seemed like he's talking about 2012. The wickedness of the earth was great. And watch the Bible, come on.
And that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually.
Man's heart was evil continually. He went to bed thinking evil. He got up thinking evil. I declare this sound like 2012. And the Bible says what, sir? And God repented, a change of heart, because the original intent of man was not doing what God had intended for man to do. And the Bible says
that he had made man on the earth.
That God made man on the earth.
And it grieved him at his heart.
And sin literally broke the heart of God. All right, come on, sir.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man.
And watch this. God said, I will destroy man.
Whom I have created from the face of the earth.
Whom I have created from the face of the earth. Come on.
Both man and beast.
I'm going to destroy man and beast.
And the creeping things.
I'm going to destroy the creeping things.
And the fowls of the air.
The fowl of the air.
For every bit of me.
Because I had a change of heart in regards to the intent.
That I had made them.
That I even made man the first place. Come on.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
I want to say this to the church. That in the midst of all of this corruption. In the midst of all of his sin, the Bible says there was a man that found grace in the eyes of God.
Yes, sir.
Which help us to understand you can live right even though everybody else around you is not doing right. You can still do the right thing. In the midst of all of this corruption, in the midst of all of this evil, there was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And watch what the Bible says.
These are the generations of Noah.
These are the generations of Noah.
Noah was a just man.
Noah was a just man.
And perfect in his generation.
He was a spiritually mature man in all the generation. Come on.
And
Don't miss this. The Bible did not say God walked with Noah. But the Bible says Noah walked with God. Well, what's the difference? God is not going to follow us. We're going to have to follow him. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Our walk must be after what God has said. And the guide God gives us is his holy word. Psalm 68 in verse, just right, I got a feeling I'm going to go fast. I got a feeling, I just got this feeling. Psalm 68 in verse number 11, the Bible says, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it. You see, this Bible is so powerful. That God put safeguards in the book to make sure that man did not bother his book. In the beginning of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Lord spoke through Moses and said, don't add or diminish from my command. In the beginning of the book, God says, don't bother my word. In the middle of the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says every word of God is pure. It is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to the word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. In the beginning of the book, God said, don't bother my book. In the middle of the book, God said, don't bother my book. And even at the end of the book, Revelation 22, verse 18 and verse number 19, God said, don't add to my words, lest I add the plagues that are written therein. And then he says, don't you take away from my word, or I'll take your name out of the holy city and your name out of the Lamb's book of life. So at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Bible, God says, don't bother. Don't bother my word. And so therefore, why? It's instruction to help us to walk with God. We have to live our life in accord to God's direction. Now, the Bible says Noah walked with God. All right? And the Bible says, sir, come on. Don't miss it. It's going to be important now. It's going to be very important now. We're going to take a test before I finish. Noah had three boys. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Don't miss that. Three boys. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, come on, read, sir.
The earth also was corrupt before God.
The earth was corrupt before God. Come on.
And the earth was filled with violence.
And the earth was filled with violence. Come on, sir.
And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt.
God looked at the earth, looked at the people, it was corrupt. Come on.
For all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth.
Man had completely abandoned God. Man was doing whatever they wanted to do. And the book says, when God looked at it, he saw the corruption. Come on, sir.
And God said unto Noah.
And God said to Noah.
The end of all flesh is come before me.
The end of all flesh is coming before me.
For the earth is filled with fire.
Earth is filled with violence through them.
And behold,
behold, watch what God says. I will destroy them
with the earth.
I'm going to destroy them with the earth. Come on, sir.
Make thee an ark of hope.
Don't miss this. In the midst of all of this corruption, in the midst of all of this corruption, God told one man to build an ark. And I want you to understand this. Because remember, this is nothing but a blueprint of what it was God was going to do. Just like God told one man to build then, there's only one person that was supposed to build the New Testament church. He said, Noah, you build the ark. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. There was one builder then. There's only one builder today. Now, I want you to watch this. He says, make thee an ark. And then he says, out of gopher wood. Well, that's interesting. Where does gopher wood come from? Well, a gopher wood would come from a gopher plant. A gopher plant would come from gopher seeds. It just makes common sense. That's all. I'm just appealing to your common sense. Now, if it's a tree, it had to have came from, it must have come from seeds. Now, we're going to see in just a moment, the ark was entirely too big for Noah to build this ark from one tree. Noah had, boy, y'all ain't looking right. Y'all look at, come on now, come on. Y'all come with me now. Because we're going to look at the ark in just a moment. The dimensions of the ark. It's entirely too big to build all of this ark just for one tree. Which means he had to have used more than one tree. But every tree had to come from the same kind of seed. Because he can only use gopher wood. Well, when it comes down to the church, all of us must come from the same seed. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11, the Bible said, now the seed is the word of God. All of us must be birthed forth from that seed. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Peter said, sing therefore, you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Here it is. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We are born again by an incorruptible seed. And that seed is the word of God. He told Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Let me just say this to you. Each board that made up the ark had to be from a gopher tree, or cypress wood, if you will. Now, in order for the ark to float, those boards had to be close together. No congregation of our Lord will ever be successful in anything they do unless the members are close together. You see, it's one thing for the boat to be in the water. It's another thing for the water to be in the boat. And so therefore, the boards had to be close together. And all the boards came from the same seed. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. All right, come on, sir.
Rooms shall not make in the ark.
Now, rooms, that dealt with resting. If you wanted rest, there was no rest on the outside. All right, rooms of rest. There was no rest on the outside. The only rest would be on the inside of the ark. Come on, sir.
And shall pitch it within without within.
You see the word pitch? He was to pitch it. This was the thing that was going to hold those boards in place. He was going to pitch it. The word pitch comes from a Hebrew word, kaphar. K-A-P-H-A-R. Kaphar. All right? And it literally comes from a word which means atonement, which means every board had to be atoned for. The Lord only adds those who are saved to the church. Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Another translation says, such as those who were being saved. He only adds those who were saved to the church, which means just anybody does not comprise or make up the Lord's church. Only those who were saved. Pitch it within, and another thing. The boards look the same on the inside as they did on the outside. Maybe this is a problem in the Church of Christ. Maybe this is why we are not the fastest growing religion. Maybe because of the fact the boards don't look the same on the inside as they do on the outside. Well, what do you mean, Brother Powell? In other words, church, we got to have an understanding that we cannot look one way in here. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me here. And then look totally different out there. You can't praise God with your tongue in here on Sunday, then telling folk off on the day in Ryan on Monday. We have to understand that there has to be consistency, and the board has to look the same on the inside as it does on the outside. Pitch it within and without with pitch. And the Bible says what, sir?
And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of.
Now, God said, listen, God is a God who is very specific. God said, this is the pattern. In other words, he didn't just tell Noah, you just go build a boat. No, no, no. God said, I'm going to tell you what the boat should look like. And that's how God is. God is a God of pattern. Out in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, God told Moses to build the tabernacle according to the pattern. He had to build according to God is a God of pattern. He's a God of pattern. All right? Now, that's 2 Timothy 2:13. Pattern. God is a God of pattern. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17. God is a God of pattern. All right? And the book says, this is the fashion. This is the pattern. Go to read, sir.
The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits.
Watch how specific God is. God said, build the ark 450 feet long. Go to read, sir.
The breadth of it 50 cubits.
The width of it, I want you to make it 75 feet wide. Come on, sir.
And the height of it, 30 cubits.
I want you to build the ark 45 feet high. Let's go over that again. 450 feet long. 75 feet wide. 45 feet high. That's how specific God is. God didn't say, just go do it any way you want to do it. God said, I'm going to tell you what I want it to look like. And maybe the problem in the Lord's church today, we are doing things without God's instruction. We are doing things outside of the Lord's jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, come on, sir.
A window shall thou make.
Don't miss this. A window. Mm-hmm. One window. Now, you watch this. A window shall thou make in the ark and shall finish it a cubit above. Now, remember, the ark is 45 feet high. He was to put one window. And he was to make it a cubit, 18 inches from the top. Which means you got one window, 18 inches from the top, 36 and a half feet in the air, which means nobody could enter the ark through the window. That was never God's intent for anybody to come in the ark through a window. What is a window? Woo, I'm glad y'all asked me that. Ooh, let me explain. As grandma used to say, let me explain what a window is. A window is a compound word, if you will. Syllabicated word. Two words put together. Wind, door. A window is a door for the wind. Now, what relevance does that have? Well, you understand this. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is illustrated as wind. Mm-hmm. To access the wind, you have to be on the inside. Now, you got to understand something about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit? Well, look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. The Bible tells us, you all, in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Right quick. Your pen run out of ink, you're going to be in trouble. By the time you get another one. Romans 5 and verse number 5. The Bible tells us, Brother Burnside, are you going to get it, sir? All right. You're a good brother. Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Elder. And hope maketh not ashamed.
Because the love of God is shared.
Come on.
Abroad in our hearts.
By the Holy Ghost.
Which is given unto us.
The Bible said, watch this. The Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, it's given to us. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 8. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8. What does the Bible say?
4 and 8.
Yes, sir.
Be therefore. That despiseth not man.
But God.
Who hath given unto us. His Holy Spirit.
You see? Romans 5:5, God gives the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, God is the one that gives the Spirit. Now here's the question. Who does God give the Spirit to? Acts 5 and verse number 32. Go to Acts 5:32. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32. Acts 5:32. Watch what the Bible says. Acts 5.
Acts 5:32.
I'll wait for you, sir. I'll wait for you, Elder.
Yes.
And we are his witnesses
of these things.
Of these things.
And so is also.
And so also
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Whom God has given to him.
Whom God has given to him.
That obey God.
If you want the Holy Spirit, you got to obey God.
Yes, sir.
Is there an example, Brother Pounds, where we can find where somebody obeyed God and received the Holy Spirit? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Acts 2:38. Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, you don't have to pray for it. When you obey God, obey the gospel, when you're baptized, the Bible says God will give you his Holy Spirit. And so therefore, a window is a door for the wind. We can access God's Spirit through the idea of God providing that place of fellowship. But then not only is a window a door for the wind, but there's a second purpose we have for a window. Mm-hmm. A window allows for light to come in. And it is one window in the ark. There's only one window in the Lord's church. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. And it is a light unto our pathway. And so the only light we have, it illuminates through the word. God doesn't speak to anybody today. You got folks running around today saying, God spoke to me. You know, I used to say that they didn't hear anything, but based on what a person eat or what they drink, you may think you're hearing something and seeing something. But I want you to understand, God doesn't speak to anybody today. Well, how do you know that? Because I know what the Bible says. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and at divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God speaks through the Son. Well, how does can anybody hear Jesus? No. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. He tells us he only speaks through the book. God speaks through the Son speaks through the book. If you want to know what the Father and the Son said, you got to go to the book. You have to go to the Word of God. And so therefore, the Bible says, a window shall thou make in the ark, and shall finish in a cubit above. It's too high for anybody to get in the ark through the window. Well, how does God expect us to get in? Watch what the Bible says.
In the door of the ark.
And watch, I want you to watch it now, because there was only one window. And then it says, the door. Where should the door be?
Of the ark shall be set in the side.
Now, he says, I'm going to put the door in the side. The door was fixed on the side,
yes, sir,
of the ark.
Yes.
Which means there was an opening in the side that allowed individuals to come in.
Yes, sir.
And I stopped by to tell that the side of our Savior was open. And that's how we gain an entrance on the inside. Oh, y'all remember, don't you? John 19, when Jesus, the blessed Savior, was hanging on the cross. And the Bible says, because that holy day was being hastened on, they decided to break the legs to hasten on death. But when they came to the... Y'all know, they broke the legs of those other individuals. But when they came to Jesus,
yeah, yeah,
the Bible says he was dead, yeah, already.
Yeah.
And one of those soldiers with a spear pierced him in the side.
Yes, sir.
And the book says, out of his side came our blood and water.
Yes, sir.
You want to know how does a person come into the Lord's church today? They come through the side. Let me just help you to see this. Because Christ got his wife when his side was open. Y'all not looking right. Y'all not looking right. Bible scholars, y'all remember this? Paul says that Christ is the second Adam. Let's go back to the first Adam. Y'all remember Adam, don't you? The one that was in the Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
You remember Adam. Adam was there in the garden. And young ladies, and that's a good point. Let me just take a sidebar. Young ladies, that's a good point. You know, because people say, well, you know, Brother Powell, everybody should be married and it's not good to be alone. Well, you better go back and read Genesis again. Because Adam, when he was by himself, there was something God did to Adam to get him ready for a wife. Number one. Boy, y'all better write this. Ooh. I see the young lady, she write all sermon long. She grabbed a pen then. She grabbed a pen then. Number one. If you're looking, if you're looking, honey, the book said, number one, that God took man and placed him in the garden.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is before he had a wife. Which means, number one, honey, he needs to have some transportation before he gets married.
Yeah.
If he's riding out all your gas, won't put no gas in your car, honey, he ain't the right one. He ain't the right one. Number one, God took him and put him in the garden. Number two, he had a job. I'm talking about before he had a wife. Number three, he had a home. He had a home, he had a job, he had transportation. But not only that, he has communication with God. That's most important. He had communication with God. And not only that, but then number five, number five, God put all the animals in front of him just to see what he was going to name. He had an educated mind. Young ladies, if he got education, if he knows God, he has his own place, he has a job, he has his own transportation, it's not good for that man to be alone. Y'all ain't right, right. Y'all just ain't right. Honey, if he's still at home with his mama, can't keep a job, won't come to church, not spiritual, still riding in your car, is good for that man. It's good for that man to be alone, honey. He need to get himself together first. And another thing, young ladies, don't chase a man. Don't run him down trying to force him to marry you. We talk about fellowship. I'll be there this morning. Don't chase a man, honey. Because the Bible says he that findeth a wife.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you have to, honey, you have to be fine. That means you got to learn the art of looking lost. All right, I'm moving on. But the Bible says that the side of Christ was open. And blood and water. Because what happened? See, all of that, that's a powerful understanding, teaches us a lot. Because in order to come into the Lord's church, we got to come through the blood and the water. You see, when God did, God hooked up the blood and the water. God put the blood and the water together. All right, let's go quickly. Look at your Bible. In the Bible, I quoted this already. In 1 John 1 and verse 7. All right, brother, just go to Ephesians 5:26. I'll be there in just a moment. I'll quote 1 John 1, 7, and then we're going to read Ephesians 5:26. 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood, here it is, pay attention to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. What does the blood do? The blood cleanses. If the blood cleanses, what does the water do? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. What does the Bible say, sir? That he might sanctify and cleanse it
with
the washing of water.
By the word.
The blood cleanse and the water cleanse. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and meet me at verse number 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 26 is what the Bible says. If you haven't, sir, go right ahead.
And as they were eating.
As they were eating.
Jesus took bread.
Jesus took bread.
And blessed it.
Blessed the bread.
And break it.
Broke the bread.
And gave it to his disciples.
Gave it to his disciples.
And said, take eat.
Take eat.
This is my body.
This is my body.
And he took the cup.
He took the cup.
And gave thanks.
Gave thanks.
And gave it to them.
Gave it to them.
Saying, drink ye all of it.
Drink ye all of it.
But this is my blood of the new covenant.
This is, don't miss it now. This is my blood of the New Testament that was shed.
For many, for the remission of sin.
What's the blood for? Remission of sin. What's the water for? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You see, the blood was for remission of sin. And the water is for remission of sin. And you can't reach the blood unless you go through the water. All right. Look at Revelation 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 verse number 5. Revelation 1 and verse number 5. Let's watch what the Bible says. Revelation 1 and verse number 5.
And from Jesus Christ,
who is a faithful witness,
first
begotten of the dead,
prince
of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us
and
washed us from our sins, we were washed in the blood. What's the blood for? The washing away of sin. What's the water for? Ooh, I'm glad y'all asked. Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. The blood is for the washing away of sin. The water is for the washing away of sin. And you cannot reach the blood unless you go through. You got to go through the water.
Yes, sir.
But then, not only that, get from the Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says. Hebrews 9:14. How much more
shall
the blood of Christ,
who
through the eternal Spirit
offered
himself
without spot to God,
the blood deals with our conscience. The blood deals with our conscience. What does the water do? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. The like figure, which also baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood deals with the conscience. The water deals with the conscience. Romans 5, 9, the blood saves. Mark 16:16, baptism saves. And you can't reach the blood unless you go through the water. And so therefore, when the side was open, the Bible said came out blood and water. Because we understand John 10:9. There was only one door then. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door.
Yes,
one door then, one door today. And let me tell you something quickly about the door. The door determines how you enter. I was talking to a friend one day, we was at a bank. I wasn't paying attention. Middle of the day, I pushed the door to go into the bank. The door didn't move. I was so engaged in conversation until on the door it said pull. And I was pushing. Now, if I wanted to enter that building, I had to obey the door.
Yes, sir.
The door dictated how I entered.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm saying to us today, the door, which is Jesus Christ, he dictates how one comes on the inside. Oh, I got to hurry. They didn't tell me y'all how long to preach, so I got to hurry. All right. And the book says, and a door shall thou set in the side. Go to read, sir. We're back in Genesis. Go to read, sir.
Therefore,
with lower, three stories to that ark.
Shall
you make it? We shall have time to deal with that three stories, but go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
And behold.
Behold, even I.
You bring a flood of water.
I'm going to, universal judgment, I'm going to bring a flood. On the earth. Come on.
Upon the earth. You destroy all flesh.
I'm going to destroy all flesh.
Wherein is the breath of life?
Come on.
Up under heaven.
Come on.
And everything that is in the earth shall die.
Everything in the earth is going to die. Mm-hmm. Come on, sir.
But with
you alone, I'm going to establish my covenant. Come on, sir.
And thou shalt come into the ark.
Thou shalt come in the ark.
Thou and thy son.
you, your boy,
and thy wife,
your wife,
and thy son's wives with thee.
Don't miss this. We're talking about the place of fellowship. God told Noah to go in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Noah had three boys.
Yeah.
All right, now the test time. He had three boys. Remember, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He told the three boys to go in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
He told Noah's wife to go into the ark. The three sons went in. The three boys' wives went in. Noah went in. Noah's wife went in. Listen. I have one son. My son wears my name. Whoever the boy married, we're going to all have the same name. When Noah married Miss Noah, they had the same name. When he had three boys, they wore Noah's name.
Mm-hmm.
And when Noah's three boys married, they all had the same name.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to the Lord's church, everybody wears the same name. It was never God's desire for there to be a Adventist, B Baptist, C Catholics, D Disciples of Christ, E Episcopalians, F First Assembly, G Church of God in Christ, H Holiness, I Independent Baptist, J Jehovah Witness, K Kingdom Living, L Lutherans, M Methodist, N New Birth, O Open Fellowship, P Pentecostals, Q the Quakers, R Reformers, S Seventh Day Adventists, T Theological Society, U Unitarian, V Victory Outreach, W Watchtower Society, X. Got to skip over X. No denomination start with X. Y, YMCA, Young Men Christian Association, Z, and the Zealots. And because no denomination start with X, you ought to X every one of them out. Because none of them are part of the body of Christ. Everybody in the ark had the same name. Everybody in the Lord's church a Christian. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass the whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 26, 28, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 15, that if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We are Christians today. Because if you took Christ out of Christian, you're left with I-A-N, which means I ain't nothing y'all ain't going to help me without Jesus Christ. I got to hurry. I keep saying that, but I'm not moving fast. I got to hurry. And he says to them, your sons come in, your wife come in, your boys come in. Hang with me, Elder Burnside. And he says, and come into the ark. And go to read, sir. I'm trying to truncate this. Go to read, sir.
And of every living thing.
Out of every living thing. Go to read, sir.
Two of every sort.
You should bring with you to the ark. Go to read, sir.
Into the ark. To keep them alive.
Go to read, sir.
And there should be male and female.
Everything in the ark. Whew, this is a hard point here.
Yeah.
Everything in the ark was male and female. Now, in the church of our Lord, we are not people who, we're not hate mongers. We don't hate anybody. But one thing we have to do in the Lord's church, we got to tell the truth. Of everything God created, everything is doing what God intended except man. Think about it. The dog is still barking. The cow is still mooing and giving milk. The cat is still meowing. The monkey is still swinging. The only thing that God created that's not doing what God intended is man. And we got all the sense in the world. We can walk on the moon. We got all the sense in the world. We got GPS. Can take a preacher from Florida, put him in a hotel. Uh-huh. Getting lost three times with a GPS trying to find his building. But we are so smart. But yet and still, there are some things we're not even as smart as animals. Don't mean no harm. But a boy dog doesn't run behind another boy dog to get with the boy dog. He knows the difference. A bull doesn't run behind another bull to get with that bull. He knows the difference. How in the world with us, with all this sick, y'all ain't looking right. Y'all ain't looking right. I move on. It may be a little touchy subject or something, but I'm just trying to help folks understand we got to get back to doing what God intended for us to do. Male and female to come into the ark with it. I wish I had time to show you this because, listen, Noah didn't have time, y'all, to run down all these animals. Go back and read it. Noah didn't run down all these animals. Come on. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. No, he had time to run down all these animals. When you read the text, how powerful this was, God brought the animals to him. That's how awesome God is, we serve. And the Bible says, Elder Burnside,
fowl
after that kind,
cattle
after that kind,
of every creeping thing
on the earth. Come on.
After his kind.
Go to read, sir.
Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them
alive. You see, God said, shall come unto thee. You see, he had to look for them. God brought them to him.
Yeah.
And let me just say this to you. You don't have to, when you're a member of the Lord's church, you don't have to go nowhere else. Everything you need. God is an awesome God.
Yes, sir.
He's an awesome God. Romans 8:28. The Bible says that we know all things work together for good for them that love God, who are the called according to God's divine purpose. Everything we need, all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3, are in Jesus Christ. Just stay in Christ. Whatever you need, just stay in Christ. And he'll provide. He will provide. And the book says, go to read, sir.
And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten.
All your substance on the inside. You don't have to go outside for nothing. Come on, sir.
And thou shalt gather unto thee.
Gather unto thee. It shall be food for thee
and for them.
And for them. Come on.
Thus did Noah.
Verse 22. Thus did Noah. Everything God told him, that's what he did. What was he doing? He was foreshadowing for us this place of fellowship in one church. And now we got one more verse, Elder Burnside. Don't close the book too fast, Elder Burnside. Say, hang with me now. Because I want us to see this. Because this place of fellowship designed by God, it was so designed by God. And so God wants everybody to be in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have proper fellowship, everybody has to be in the same place. It was never God's desire for religious confusion. God wants everybody to be in the same place.
Yeah.
And I want you to see this place this morning because this place is indestructible. When you go back to Noah's ark, you ever thought about this? The ark of Noah could not sink. It couldn't sink. Did he build it that good? Well, I don't know really how he built it, other than God's instruction. But I got one point. I'm through. The ark of Noah could not sink. Matter of fact, I'll say this to you. It was impossible for Noah's ark to sink. Well, how do you know that? Well, my last point, I'm going to show you this, and then the next one will be yours. There was absolutely, positively no way for that ark to sink. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ today. Because I'm a member of a church, my friend, that will never go out of business, that is eternal. It is eternal means always was, always is, and always will be. If the Church of Christ is in God's mind before the foundation of the world. Even when you and I are dead and gone, the Church of Christ was still saved. My last point. It was impossible. I want to show you this because I'm paralleling the Noah's Ark to the Lord's Church. My last point, I want to show you that it was impossible for the Ark to sink. Chapter 7, we read chapter 6. In chapter 7, Elder Burnside, and verse number 1, I only need one verse to prove this. One verse to show you that the Ark of Noah could not sink. Chapter 7, verse number 1 says what, sir?
And the Lord said unto Noah,
Come thou and all your house
into the ark.
All right, they missed it. Elder Burnside, they missed it. I just proved a point. Y'all didn't say amen. Y'all missed it. What's your point? Your point is, it's impossible for that ark to sink. Read that again.
And the Lord
said unto Noah,
Come thou
and all your house, y'all, they missed it again, Elder Brains. Now look there, we got to eat after church. We got to eat after church. Now y'all got to get this. Y'all got to get this. My last point. The ark of Noah could not sink because God told Noah. Read that again, sir.
And the Lord said unto Noah.
And the Lord said to Noah.
Come thou.
Come thou.
And all thy
and all your house.
Into the ark.
That's why I couldn't say. All right, y'all, let me give it to you. Now, Elder Jackson, if I went to Elder Jackson's office, and he's on the outside of his office, and I see him on the outside of his office, he would say, he's such a kind brother, he would say, Brother Powell, you can go into my office. Because if he's on the outside, and I'm on the outside, and I want to go into his office, he would say, Brother Powell, you can go into my office. But if I come to Elder Jackson's office, and he's on the inside, and I knock and tell him it's me, he wouldn't tell me to go inside. He would say, Brother Powell, you can come inside. God didn't tell Noah to go in the ark. God told Noah to come into the ark, which means God was already. What y'all gonna get, man? God was already on the inside. How in the world can the ark sink when God is on board? And I'm saying to us today, whatever you're going through, when God is on board your life, everything is going to be all right. We got to stay together. We got to recognize the great fellowship that we have as brothers and sisters, because we uphold the name of Christ when we come together to do what God has commanded us to do. That was God's whole purpose. One place where we can be unified together under the banner of his dear son, Jesus. What about you today? We'll deal with the purpose of the plan, Lord, with this afternoon. What about you today? There's somebody here today, and you're not a Christian. And there's somebody here today, you're outside the ark of safety. Do you need to be saved today? How can I be saved today, Brother Powell? Listen, his name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. You come to Jesus by Jesus. The J in Jesus is, you need to hear. You need to hear just Jesus. Don't hear what mama said. Don't hear what your preacher said. Hear just Jesus. The E in Jesus is the evidence. You need to hear how Jesus died. He was buried. Rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 through 4 tells us those, that is the fundamental fact of the gospel. The F in Jesus is you got to stop. It don't mean slow down. You got to stop. And we call that repentance. Acts 17 and verse number 30. The you in Jesus is the ultimatum. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But then he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That's the ultimatum. And then the last S in Jesus is you have to submit to submersion. You've got to go in the water. Acts 2:38. And when you go in the water, you're going to reach the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood of Jesus going to cleanse you. You're going to wash you of all of your sins. Then you live faithful unto the, even if it means death. Revelation 2:10. And the Lord promised he'll give you a crown of life that won't fade away. If you're here today, you're a member of the church, and you're going astray, you come back. You come back home. You come back to the process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you need prayer, truth be told, all of us need prayer. Because somebody said either you're in trouble, you just got out of trouble, or you're headed for trouble. It's called life. Because you don't have to trouble for trouble to trouble you. You just keep on living and trouble gonna find you. But if you need special prayer today, you come on to the Lord for the process of requesting prayer, and we'll pray. We still believe the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Or that means it does a lot of good. Prayer does a lot of good. And if you're here today, if you're subject to the master's invitation, then you come on right now. We're going to stand. We'll sing a song. Come on to the Lord.